Shalom, everyone. Greetings, brethren. This is Stephaniah, Jeremiah 2. In the Word, let's look at Jeremiah 2. For my people have committed two evils. I'm in verse 13. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. That's where the world is at today, and especially here in the West. Another verse from Jeremiah chapter 2. I would that you would read the whole book, if you haven't done that yet. But certainly the second chapter of Jeremiah today would be really great. For of old time, now I'm reading in verse 20, for of old time I have broken the yoke and burst thy bands. Thou said, I will not transgress, when upon every high hill and under every green tree thou wanderest, wandering around playing the harlot. Yet I planted thee a noble vine, wholly a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? Verse 22 is the next verse. For though thou wash thee with nitre, and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith Yahweh. How canst thou say, I am not polluted? I have not gone after Balaam. See thy way in the valley. Know what thou hast done. Thou art a swift dromedary, traversing her ways. That reminds me of a camel there. And also a parallel chapter is Hosea 2:17 on that. You remind me of a swift dromedary traversing her ways. Verse 24, a wild ass, used to the wilderness, that snuffeth up the wind at her pleasure. A wild ass, used to the wilderness, snuffed up the wind at her pleasure in her occasion. Who can turn her away? All they that seek her will not weary themselves. In her month they shall find her. Withhold thy foot from being unshod, and thy throat from thirst. But thou said, there is no hope. No, for I have loved strangers, and after them will I go. So that passage there in Jeremiah chapter 2, speaking of the swift dromedary and the wild ass, certainly is symbolic there. Our Savior is not talking about a real donkey or ass there. He's speaking of symbolically of how we become. We, the nation of what is called Israel by the world. Actually, we are, descendants from Abraham and also from Moses, from all these prophets. It's, genealogy is a complicated thing to explain, but basically there are very few who were of pagan origin. Most of them were killed off. So we are of the of Yahweh's tree. We've been, grafted into the good olive tree. That's Romans 11. It's that reference there about being grafted into the good olive tree, into our Savior, into our Master. Yahweh is the creator of all. He is the Father. They've disguised his name in all the, most of the versions anyway, as a Lord and, put other names in there. But his name is Yahweh, and that comes from YHVH. So this is Stephaniah, and I'm ready to serve Yahweh. I'm ready in the Spirit and in his Word. Are you ready today? We love him, and thus we desire to obey his scriptures. Hallel Yahweh, and praise his name. Well, here in our area, the university is a great football team. Everywhere you look, people are running around trying to remind you of this famous university here in the West. And, they've got their hats and insignias and logos and mugs. You'll not find anybody reminding you that her team is of Yahweh, the mighty creator. There won't be any hats with the Yahweh logo on them, or even the G-O-D or J-E-S-U-S. Not even that. No hats, banners, buildings, car antennas, or t-shirts. Nothing about our creator, about the King of Kings, Yahweh, the creator of all. And yet they say, for example, they might say, Yahweh, thanks for what you have provided for me. Now leave me alone and mind your own business. Yes. And then we demand that he monitors everything we do throughout the day. We can go to different scriptures to back that up. that Yahweh watches our every steps and carries us through all the land and the sand. And then once a week, we look up and say, hey, thanks. Now, where's the rest of it that you promised us? Okay. Oh, let's just forget about his name and worship him. Let's just forget about his name and worship him. Jeremiah 23, verse 27. Now, please read that whole chapter again of the 23rd chapter of Jeremiah. And I am going to read for you verses 26 and 27. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Jeremiah chapter 23, 26. I'm trying to let you catch up here, but yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. Now here's the important part I want you to catch in chapter 23, verse 27. Those prophets which think to cause my people to forget my name. You know, they'll put in L-O-R-D or some other G-O-D or whatever. They cause my people to forget my name. They whisper it once a year. And forget by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal, or Baal. Now look up the word Baal in your dictionary concordance, and it means Lord. And so they argue, well, that's a little L. Okay, well, they're drawing at straws there. Little L, big L, it's still L-O-R-D, it's still the same word. Jeremiah 19:15, thus saith Yahweh of hosts, behold, I will bring upon the city and upon all her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks, that they might not hear my words. That was Jeremiah 19 and the last verse. But we have miracles in our church, our clubhouse. But ma'am or sir, miracles do not authenticate your belief. They do not prove that what you believe is true, although it could do that, but you know, we have to go to the Word for the truth. Winston Churchill said that you stumble on the truth. You might stumble on the truth, then you pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and then you wander off. According to one of the great leaders of history from England, Winston Churchill said, you stumble. They stumble on truth, they pick themselves up, and they wander off. You were sure right about that. Oh, come on. Come on, Stefan Yah, come on. You might say to the Savior, I'm a good Republican. I attend the Tea Party, went to Miami for the Tea Party or New York City. I listen to Rush Schwann or Michael. I'm a conservative. I am conservative. I'm against abortion. I'm against homosexuality. And even against dancing, drinking, and smoking. But our commander-in-chief, Yahweh, looks down and he says, what he said there at the very beginning, it essentially means no soap, no cigar, no way. There, it holds no water, no soap, you know. So we're going to just stand there and stare while others are loading up on Yahweh's worthy vessel. Stand by to weigh anchor, because judgment is coming. Bondage, the new world order is coming. And we stand there and come up with all kinds of excuses not to use his name, not to be immersed or baptized, not to attend assembly. You know, well, that the assembly down the road isn't perfect. Well, we better do something anyway, I think. I'm sure we better do something to continue to be in Yahweh's favor. Coming up now, so here we go with the next section. The scriptures tell us if we reject Yahweh's word, Yahweh the Father, Yahweh the Son will reject us. We have rejected his word, his Ten Commandments, his Torah, in other words, his laws. Therefore, we are given tyrants in our government. Yeah. Either Yahweh's Torah will govern us, or by Yahweh we will be governed. In this case, we are ruled by our enemies, isn't it? Isn't it true? Yeah, bad times are coming, but I'm not going to really focus in on that. We want to focus in on the solution. How are we kept? We're kept by the Spirit to keep the Torah. Ephesians 2, verse 8. Now every scripture-believing believer and Protestant, baptized, born again, or Christian, you know, should know this, Ephesians 2:8. For by favor alone are we saved. You want to turn to that? Okay. Make sure we get the exact quote. You're changing the pagan words here, but Ephesians chapter 2. And then up to verse 8. And I think we end with verse 10 on that particular one. For by, and it uses the word grace there. We're not going to use that. It's explained on our website. For by favor, or unmerited favor, are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of Yahweh. It is the gift of Yahweh. So we're saved by the wonderful gift when he died on the tree for us 2,000 years ago. It's not of works. We're not saved by works. Many churches have their various ways. You know, there's Catholic, Messianic, different churches that believe in works. Not that the creed of the Messianic church is not that it's all bad, you know, and it's not all wrong, but there are some a few things in there of works that shouldn't be in there. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship. So who does that work in us, of improving us, of repenting from our sins? We are created in Yahweh HaMashiach, that's the Savior, it says here, Christ Jesus, unto good works, which Yahweh has before ordained that we should walk in them. Wow, yes, he has ordained. He has predestinated us for a great future, for thousands, millions of years. We'll not only be walking in his truth now, but in the future. If you want to continue on, the beautiful scriptures, Isaiah 26:12 and Philippians 2:13 go along with that. And continuing, verse 11, wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles, in the flesh. Now, the word Gentiles there could mean that you're the northern 10 tribes of what's commonly called Israel, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands. Whether or not you are from the tribe of Abraham and the you know, the northern 10 tribes of so-called Israel, or the southern kingdom of Yehuda or Judah, we need to enter in. It's all the same system, into Yahweh's system of being saved by favor alone, by unmerited favor, trusting in him, and not by our own works, lest any man should boast. We learn about favor and works, favor and law, favor and love, and how works fit in. The two just go together. They are not separate. They are not in opposition to one another. Hosea chapter 1. Hosea, back in the so-called Old Testament, chapter 1, verse 10. Yet the number of the chosen children shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. The term chosen, the chosen ones or the chosen children, shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. So you say, I'm not a Jew. Who are you then, Greek? Are you a Greek? But most of us then are the chosen children of Yahweh. We all have to be obedient to the word. We're not just uncircumcised Gentiles. We've been saved by the blood, not by works, not by keeping the Ten Commandments or by keeping the Sabbath, but by Yahweh's mercy as he saved us. If origin means anything, then we, of course, obviously have to be grafted into the Messiah, the good olive tree, and which is also the nation of the chosen children, who say, oh, how I hate thy law, it's Jewish. Well, it is not by works of righteousness, which I have done, but according to his mercy he saved me. Well, we've been saved, yeah, but so why do we want to keep the Sabbath? Why do we want to sing? Why do we go out and help people? Well, that's also works, you know. We shouldn't be doing that because works don't save. Well, I'm going to help people, I'm going to sing, I'm going to help little old ladies across the street, and I'm going to keep the Sabbath. We can't be saved by playing the piano, by going to, you know, to the convocation once a week. We can't be saved by reading the word or by singing or by keeping the Sabbath day. But we're saved by Yahweh's mercy. We're to live by every word. Deuteronomy 8 or Matthew 4 or Luke 4, they all say the same thing. It's just repeating throughout the word to keep reminding us. It's line upon line and precept on precept. Matthew 4:4, man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. I am to live as the word says, line upon line. The new covenant, well, that's found in Jeremiah 31 and Hebrews 10. Those are repeated there in Hebrews 10, verse 16. This is the covenant. How many covenants are there out there as far as referring to us as a nation and to our salvation? To you, who, you know, you call yourself a Gentile or you call yourself a Jew, but which covenant do we, which system do we follow? Hebrews 10, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith Yahweh. And that does somewhat seem to be in the future, but it says, I will put my Torah into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Why does he write them in our hearts? So that we can forget them and then just pretend like we're saved, but we'll live like good old dirty uncircumcised Gentiles. But no, he says he'll write them in our hearts and minds, and we will not forget them. Actually, we'll do them, because we'll remember. We don't automatically know these things. We do have to look up what the word tells us, the Torah or the Pentateuch, Genesis through Deuteronomy. I'm just sort of qualifying all this here. And the Torah is considered to be the first five books of Scripture, Genesis through Deuteronomy, or in Hebrew, Bereshit through Devarim. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore, hell has enlarged herself and opened her mouth, you know, whether we're talking of the grave or the burning hell, I don't know right here at this second. It's enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. And their esteem and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But Yahweh of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and Yahweh that is pure shall be set apart in righteousness. It uses the word sanctified. We don't use that word. And some of the versions are different in there, but this is Yahweh, YahwehNotYahweh.com website. And excuse me there. We have something in the background there. Verse 24 of Isaiah chapter 5. 5:24 Isaiah, or Yeshayahu. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble and the flame consumes the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the Torah of Yahweh of the armies of hosts, and despised the word of the Pure One of the Chosen People. They've despised his law, in other words, to just, you know, and they say, well, there's just two laws. There's love yourself and love your neighbor, you know, or love Yahweh and love your neighbor, and so on. And that is in Scripture, but you know, what is love? 1 John 5 says to love is being obedient. Love is keeping his commandments, says 1 John 5. So it can be proven. Let's go to chapter 9 here. Just scroll ahead. Turn the page ahead here to 9:7. And what is this about law? Of the increase of his government. Okay, well, In government, in any government, there are laws. So of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of Yahweh of hosts will perform this. Yahweh didn't change to make things more convenient to suit our lifestyle. He doesn't change. We're the ones who keep changing. We shouldn't do that. The world is going into captivity because they have no knowledge. Either Yahweh will govern us, or by Yahweh we will be governed by someone we don't want. And that's some people like him. But Yeshayahu, Isaiah 5:24 says, as the fire devours the stubble and the flame consumes the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust. Because they have cast away the Torah of Yahweh of hosts, despised the word of the Pure One of the Hebrews. And we read there again in Isaiah 9:7, let me just repeat, of the increase of his government, you know, A government with no laws?
No.
And peace there shall be no end. So hold on, sister. Hold on, brother. Without his form of government, you shall have no shalom. So we're going to Isaiah 24 now. That is Yeshayahu 24, verse 5. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore has the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. We will learn that true bondage is not in obeying the Torah, but it is the repercussion from disobeying it. The protesting pastor will not begin at the beginning the Torah, but he or she will do many contorted gyrations in Galatians and other Paul's letters to lead us to believe that the scripture we just read is wrong in Isaiah 24:5. The earth is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, and they would change that to because they have kept the laws. The earth is defiled because we're keeping the Sabbath, you know, because, you know, people actually think that. Seems strange, but they really do. But we reap what we sow. The false pastor uses that word Jewish, ceremonial, sacrificial, to attempt to alter the basics of the word, the Torah, of the word. Love is magnifying Yahweh in our heart and our flesh, so why would disobeying the Torah be love? It isn't. Obeying the word is love, as John says in 1 John 5, Hallel Yahweh. It says to keep his law. 1 John 5, 2 and 3. Hallel, praise Yahweh. While you may want to fully obey the word, the liberal pastor may threaten that you will have to wear Jewish apparel, such as black caps, and turn your house upside down to try to discover a tiny particle of leaven. Of course, we would always want to examine our own spirits for leaven as well as the house around Passover time. No one objects to the wearing of any hat except for the kippah, that little Hebraic hat that people object to. They make such a big deal out of it. And then they say, well, what's the big deal? And then they turn around and make a big deal. But authentication about the hats is found in back in the Torah, of course. And we're not doing that study. I was not getting sidetracked. And leaven is partly found in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. And again, that's a study for Passover itself, 1 Corinthians 5, 7. So on this subject, though, a bondage New World Order and about the Torah, Malachi 2, 7 is more powerful than our own words. So why don't I just be quiet and read what Yahweh says? Well, I guess I will then. Malachi 2, verse 7, for the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the Torah at his mouth, for he is the messenger of Yahweh of hosts. But you are departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the Torah. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, or Levi, saith Yahweh of hosts. We have corrupted the covenant of Levi. It's called the covenant of Levi here. It's also called the law of Moses. Most of the places in Scripture here, especially in King James Version, which is about the best version I can find. And in Luke chapter 1, it shows us that the law of Yahweh, or it calls it G-O-D, the law of God, G-O-D, the law of Yahweh, is the law of Moses. It's interchangeable in the terminology. You can look it up. Maybe I'm wrong. It could be Luke 2, but I'm pretty sure it's Luke 1 there, where they're talking about the announcement of John the Immerser, John the Baptist's birth. There is an impending birth. So we read Malachi 2, if for the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the Torah at his mouth. He is the messenger of Yahweh of hosts. Then 2 verse 9, therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as you have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the Torah. That is where you hear or when you hear a speaker say that the law is in effect for this dispensation, and in the same breath will say that it was done away with. Strangely, if you compare what they said in the 1950s to what is said today, there is a contradiction in what they're saying. They said one thing. They said to keep the Ten Commandments. I attended what I considered a very good Roman Catholic church at that time in the 1950s, and went through all the school, the eight grades and so on. We had really neat nuns there who were very, I say neat, very good nuns in those days. As far as what they understood and knew, they taught it, and they didn't vary from that. They didn't preach that communism is good. They didn't preach that the Ten Commandments were bad. They taught the Ten Commandments were good, even though it was kind of a little bit different version there in that particular faith. That was a little detour there for you. Back out on the highway, many turned to house churches instead of supporting the party line or the church in the corner, because house churches sometimes offer the freedom to walk in the truth, and not, you're allowed to interpret the scriptures as the scripture interprets itself, instead of men interpreting it for you and saying that you don't have a right to interpret the scripture. Hope I didn't lose you there. Okay. So that we've been partial in the Torah, while in one we'll say, well, this law is good. This law about, is only common sense about not committing theft or adultery or something, And then in the same breath, we'll say, but these laws are bad about keeping the Sabbath and the clean and unclean. We judge, we make up our own standards. We should be following Yahweh's way. Amos 5:18. Thank you, Yahweh. Praise Yah. Amos 5:18 warns, woe unto you that desire the day of Yahweh. We're all looking forward to the end times and the second coming. Woe unto you that desire the day of Yahweh. To what end is it for you? The day of Yahweh is darkness and not light. Shall not the day of Yahweh be darkness and not light? Even very dark and no brightness in it? That was Amos 5:18. I'm sure you'll want to read more. You've probably already read it 1,000 times, but now that really seemed exciting and very, very real, very hands-on application-wise in our lives. But we are so excited about the rapture. The trumpet will sound, and first the dead and Messiah will rise. Yeah, but Yahweh says, why should, the rapture, that's a term that was made up, and there's some false concepts in it, but still, the main idea of it is that the end times are coming, that Yahweh is coming soon to come and, carry his saints to a new Jerusalem. And then we'll be with him throughout the heavens for millions of years too, in the wonderful heavens and physical and spiritual paradise that he has created for us around. We'll be on the other shore. Right now, it's just dimly that we see these things. So we are excited about the second coming, but we shouldn't be if we're walking against the Torah, if we're in rebellion, if we're not keeping all the Torah as we should. As for the patriarch David, though, is he already in heaven? Will he already be there when we get there? Acts 2:29 and Acts 2:34 says David currently is dead. Yeah, David's dead according to Acts 2:34, and so why should my uncle be up there? He's not, and neither is David, neither is anybody else other than Yahweh has ascended to the Father. Our Yahawahusha, our Savior, has ascended to the Father. Hosea 4, verse 6. Hosea 4, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We're destroyed. We're not just, tainted a little bit, off the track a little, but we're destroyed for lack of knowledge about his law. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Hosea 4, 6. I will reject thee that thou shall be no priest to me. So forget about wearing the hat. Seeing that thou hast forgotten the law, the Torah of Yahweh, I will also forget thy children. But They, like men, have transgressed the covenant. There have they dealt treacherously against me. It's directly referring to the disobedient, the breaking, the actual desire to break the law of Yahweh. Yeah. Chapter 8, verse 12, that's Hosea 8:12. I have written to him the great things of my Torah, but they were counted as a strange thing, a stupid thing. They'll scoff. You know, we went to a lawyer or a doctor the other day, and he was scoffing at about the clean and the unclean. He said, "Oh, okay, well, there's no pork in there, you silly thing, you know. There's no seafood or pork in these medicines that I'm giving you." And that was good, you know, but he scoffed at the idea. He didn't take it seriously. And it's a very serious matter, according to Isaiah 65, which is a future picture of those who are eating unclean flesh. Just as, you know, back in the days of Noah, there were clean and unclean animals. Sorry, I got off into a different subject there, but it all is good. It's all good, and it all fits together here. Bondage, New World Order. The New World is already here. A lot of these strange religions, religions from the Orient, and not only, I don't want to just single out, you know, Korea, Japan, and so on, but, and there are different religions that we do respect people and their freedom to be able to do it whatever they want. But actually, all of us came originally from Abraham for the most part, and for the most part we did. And so we need to, if we want to obey the Yahweh, the Almighty One, we want to keep His covenant. We want to love our Savior. So let's all do what He says to do. Don't do what I say. Do what He says, and it's all found there in the Word. The question is asked, do you want Yahweh's perfect government with this, all of His terrible structure that we read here about the Moses and the Ten Commandments? People object to any form of religion, even Yahweh's Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, they object to His statutes and judgments. In Exodus 21, the judgments, these are not judgments against us necessarily unless we break them, but they're privileges. Judgments can be translated as that, as privilege. Exodus 21, or His statutes in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, or Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy. Those are privileges, but they're first found, for the most part, they're coded or codified in Exodus 21 through 23, the statutes and judgments. And they include the feast days, they include things like marriage, you know, divorce and remarriage. You can even find those laws there. Some prefer to believe that divorce and remarriage is legitimate while neglecting the initial teaching on that subject of divorce and remarriage, or DNR. And the original teaching is found there in chapter 22, of not of Exodus, but Deuteronomy. Sorry about that. Deuteronomy 22, where it says, "He found her not a maid." And you're not going to go into it right now. I think we will later on a different file here about marriage, but you can read it right now at www.giveshare.org. G-I-V-E-S-H-A-R-E. Giveshare.org. And then a person said, "Well, I live by the exceptions to the rule. You know, how about this? How about that? David, you know, he committed adultery. Solomon had how many wives? I don't even know or care, you know." You know, nowadays in a church, it's common for a person to have three or four wives. You know, he's divorced and remarried, but he still has three or four wives, and it's just like, what, all those movie stars and Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor, what do they have? 11, or at least 9, I think it was, 9 divorce and remarriages. So, I'm not going to live by the exceptions. Someone else can, but the law is not the real problem. The Torah is not the main issue. The Sabbath is the main issue that people have a problem with. Talking about the Sabbath in Ezekiel 20:16, "They despise my judgments, walked not in my statutes, but polluted my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols." And then 20 verse 19, we're going to skip to verse 19. "I am Yahweh, walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them." The next verse says, "And hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you. That, so that's a sign between us and the Savior, that you may know that I am Yahweh, your Yahweh. Skip to 24, please, for the moment. They have not executed my judgments, but have despised my statutes, and had polluted my Sabbaths, and their eyes went after their father's idols. Or were after their father's idols, was the verb there. Wherefore I gave them also statutes that were not good, and judgments whereby they should not live. Where are those statutes and judgments that were not good? Those are the Jeremiah 7:22. It talks about the added law. Paul says, Yahweh says in Romans 8, he gave through the Apostle Paul, 8:38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor messengers nor principalities nor powers, I think that includes those world powers and the National Council of Churches, nor things present, or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Yahweh, which is in HaMashiach. Yahweh HaMashiach, our monarch. So thanks for joining us. Please sign the guest book or send an email. Why the V in Yahweh? And thank you very heartily. From Stefania Eber, we will talk again some other time, Yahweh permitting. Praise Yahweh. Today. Thank you.